You know, scientific men have found illegitimate children are better started than legitimate offspring, for two reasons: they are born in love, bred in love, and the prenatal influence is all shrewdness to avoid detection. That sharpens the wit of the child, the brain, and the love makes a perfect physical consummation. Q. I do not see why true love should necessarily be illegitimate. A. I thought the man of the sea was referring to the love which is greater than law or order. Q. It is true, I was thinking of the great talents of Alexander Hamilton. A. You were thinking of the illegitimate. He is often near you, a bold intrepid spirit. Hamilton's mother was a victim of the time. Had she not married the Scot, she might have married Hamilton's father. Divorce in her day in those British possessions was death, socially she could do no worse. Q. Has the spirit of man ever lived before? A. That is a phase I can't see, as each sphere is a college, I have only taken the third degree. Q. When you entered spirit life, what sphere did you go to? A. I stepped right into this one. I can only look down on the few less fortunate. The earth development is a ticket to your sphere. I have seen Myers, and he wants you to come Monday, instead of Tuesday? I will do as Mr. Myers wishes, but Tuesday will suit me better. A. He says he thinks the weather will be better, Monday, for him. He is an old, tired soul. Mrs. Georgia said, I think Mr. Hudson must have passed over with some stomach trouble. I feel the conditions. Q. What disease did you die of? A. Gastritis is my trouble. For my girl to take it is bad. I have not been able to confirm this. Q. I have written to your son through Stanford University, California. Will you see that he gets the letter? A. I will see that you hear from it. So far, 1911, I have received no answer. Q. What relation to you is Hester Hudson? A. Sister in spirit. Q. And William Hudson? A. My father's brother. As yet unconfirmed. Q. Is Hester Hudson your sister-in-law? A. Yes. Correct. Q. Shall we copy now, Dr. Hudson? A. By all means. February 15, 1909. Very bad atmospheric conditions. With Mrs. Georgia, who wrote, in a different handwriting to the former records, I am very weak today. Myers drags on. This is Richard Hodgson. I want you to talk to my girl. We can hear your voice no more. Q. Who is writing now? A. I saw him at Piper's sittings. Myers. Q. Will you give us something as a test? As I did not know you when you were in Earth life, it would be the more valuable. A. I will tell you when I am stronger. If you will put your hand upon the pencil, I might gather strength. Put my hand upon the pencil. You are a very strong force. You can write. You will write. Q. Do you mean mirror writing? A. Yes, it will come to you. You must let me rest. I explained to Mrs. Georgia how I came to believe in the existence of the spirits of departed friends. A. An agnostic before. Q. Mrs. Georgia said, tell us something about Admiral Moore. 53. A. That he was four children, three girls and one son. Correct. He is a magistrate in some small court in the same town, Gosport, Fareham Division of Hampshire. He has lived in the same house a great many years, near 35 years should be 28 years in the same town and 20 years in the same house. You married 30 years or 31 years ago, 31 years correct, in some distant place, not in England but under your flag. Correct, Sydney, New South Wales. He knew her 35 years. You will live on that house 35 years, probably. Q. How do you find out these things? A. Handwriting changed to that usually adopted by Hudson, by the guide that stands near you. She tells me. I am waiting for strength. I must come again. Q. Is my guide you spoke of, here now? A. Yes, but she can never come through the hand. Here I asked a question on a private matter about an event at home. The prognostication given turned out to be correct. It was unexpected. Q. Can you give us any more information, Dr. Hudson? A. You don't hear the rain and the hail and the snow? The atmospheric conditions were of the very worst, Hodgson and Myers want to try again, Wednesday and Thursday. Yes, if our weather is good. Myers was a very poor prophet, alluding to Mr. Myers' forecast of the weather given in the script of the 13th. Wednesday, February 17, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia, who wrote, "Dr. Hodgson and Professor Myers can't gather strength enough to come. I am the man who came in with you. You left the doctor you expected downtown. Q. I hope if Mr. Myers cannot come, Mr. Hudson will give me a message." Mr. Hudson did not manifest directly, but helped Iola, my guide, to come in. This was the first time she had made herself known through Mrs. Georgia. She identified herself completely, referred to a séance with another private medium at Toledo that had taken place a fortnight before, and in such a way as to put thought reading out of the question. I think Hudson was doing the writing for her. It was an interesting conversation, about matters that are of no concern to the reader. Mrs. Georgia, with great kindness and patience, continued writing for an hour and a half about things that could not possibly have been of any interest to her when they were translated. February 19, 1909. Atmospheric conditions most unfavorable. There was a thaw, and it was raining. With Mrs. Georgia, who wrote, "Q, is Iola here?" "A, yes, I am here, but you must talk a bit. I like her, and I like to come by her hand." "Q, shall we talk, or have the graphophone?" "A, talk." "Weather so bad," I said. "We know the conditions are very bad. I am the founder of the Psychical Society. I was the first president of that society." "Q, are you Professor Sidgwick?" "A, I died in Rome." "No, I am Frederick William Henry Myers. I was at Trinity and Cambridge." "Q, delighted to hear of you, Mr. Myers. Please give me some test." "A, I promised that I would come back if it were possible, and left a jingle, but I can't remember it. I wrote a great many verses in my time, as well as my prose work. I wrote The Scientific Future Life, prose, and St. Paul, poetry." I said, "What he means is human personality and its survival of bodily death. I wrote 7 books in all. I died in 1901 in Rome." "Correct, I was born in 40s. "Correct, I can't stay, but February 6th is the date. Tell L. and C. you saw me." "Q, very sorry, you are obliged to go. Will you come again? Please send Iola here." "A, I might if I can remember better. 43 was the year of birth." "Correct." All this was in an unusual handwriting. Mrs. Georgia had never heard of Mr. Myers' works, either prose or poetry, neither had she heard of Mr. Myers himself until he was mentioned by Mr. Hudson in her script of February 11, 1909. I had never seen Mr. Myers. I had read Human Personality, St. Paul, and several of his papers in S.P.R. Transactions, but I knew nothing about his other works. Nor did I know his third Christian name, the dates of his birth and death, nor anything about him personally. I remember reading something about him when a memorial was erected to him at one of our universities, but the facts had entirely escaped my memory. It was not till I reached home that I ascertained that the above facts were all true. I sent the writing to the secretary of the S.P.R., thinking it might fit in with some script in her possession. It was returned with a courteous note saying that Miss Johnson had not found anything evidential in it. "I believe the word jingle is an incorrect term to apply to the message Mr. Myers left behind him. Otherwise I think Mr. Myers' communication is about as evidential an incident as has ever been obtained about anybody, so far as it goes." After the departure of Myers, Iola came in, and a private conversation took place, very interesting to me, but of no particular value to my readers. February 22, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia, who wrote, "I am here, the conditions are fine, the day glorious, and the distinguished man of the sea is in a fine mood." "Q, is Iola here too?" "A, I want to talk a bit," that is her rapping on the table. "The reason I have not been here the last 2 times was better for me to stay away so Myers could come. He is in a higher sphere than I, and more anxious for you to hear from him. He want me to urge you to call for him wherever you go that you will receive the rhyme from some other medium. You should call for us when you can, because we will inspire your book in the wonderful atmosphere you have brought around you. Q. Is Mr. Myers here? A. He likes the place he is in better than when he was here, and it means a great effort to come back. He wants to come through an Englishman. You are a very strong psychic control. Q. Ask Mr. Myers if he will answer a letter at the Bangs Sisters on Monday, March 1st. A. He will try, but their mentality does not attract him as this girl. Animal magnetism may be able to signal, picture of a flag which I assume means signal, him. England next fall. Q. Do you mean Mrs. Georgia in England? A. You will see Mrs. Georgia in England during the year. You will blaze the trail. You will be able to prove to a very intelligent few the phenomena. You will do that. Don't go home without exposing a medium. If you go to one fake and expose him, you will carry greater weight with your genuine. Q. I do not care to convert. If people do not believe that you are Thomson J. Hudson, nothing will convince them of the truth of these phenomena. A. Going up the Jacob's ladder is giving out good thoughts. I will someday reveal the great hidden truths in the Bible. All this phenomena is in the Bible, but the world then was as blind to it as today. Q. Have you seen my address intended for next Wednesday night? A. I will see it when you bring it out tomorrow. You can do nothing without the Admiral. I said to Mrs. Georgia, you wrote before I came, not with me. You are too selfish to give my letters to the world. You are too fond of a good dinner. Q. Who do you mean? A. I mean my girl. I want her to wake up. I want her to realize her spiritual possibilities. She does this to please you, not to please me or educate the public, nor even herself. Am I old enough to be her father, so I have a right to arouse her to the frightful waste of talent. Iola wants to come in if you would rather she came in. Q. You have been very good. I should like Iola to come in. A. I would be glad to come all the time you are here. I shall carry the message T. J. H. Take another paper. I am sorry that I have had no opportunity of following the advice of Hudson to expose a medium. As will be seen later, my correspondent from the Third Sphere was anxious that his message should form the principal feature in the account of my experiences in America, and did not hesitate to imply fraud in other mediums with the hope of carrying out his object. It was, however, no good. I was unable to oblige him. The rest of this sitting was occupied by a conversation with Iola, which is of interest only to myself. A curious incident happened when I returned to my hotel. I was particularly careful to put all my papers reporting this sitting into one drawer in my room. In the evening I found them separated into two lots, one, the latter half, being in the drawer into which I had put the whole. The former part was discovered in another drawer that I had never used for records of sittings, nor, indeed, for any other letters or papers. The division was accounted for the next day, as will be seen below. February 23, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia. This sitting was entirely taken up with communications from Iola. Q. Can you tell me about my papers last night? A. Yes, I was there. I read them over to see how nicely I could write. Q. Why did you put half of the papers in the wrong drawer? A. I want you to know it was I was a bit careless on earth. I said, I don't remember clearly, but I think she was. A. Near relatives should know. February 24, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia. This sitting was taken up by communications from Iola. The following are extracts. Q. Have you seen Hypatia? A. I have not. Q. She was at Johnson's cabinet. A. I did not recognize her, she was of no interest to me then. I was so exhausted that time. Q. You know I have a picture of Cleopatra? A. Yes, I know all about Cleopatra. Dot. 55. He has the offshoot of the oak in his pocket, a gold acorn. Have him take a chain from his outside pocket. This is a remarkable incident. I took out of the outside pocket of my coat the key of my room in the hotel. Attached to it by a steel chain was a gold-plated acorn. It is hardly necessary to say that Mrs. Georgia knew nothing of what was in my pocket. February 25, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia. I asked Mrs. Georgia to try what she could do in automatic mirror writing while reading aloud. I brought her one of the books from her library, a play by Victor Hugo, and while reading it to me she wrote. The script was rather wild. I first asked a question of Dr. Hudson. Q. Dr. Hudson, were you with me last night when I delivered your message? An address given at the hotel. A. Yes, I was. If you want my girl to attract Iola, you must keep the first commandment. Have no other gods before this. In this respect the gods are spelled with small letters, no irreverence. Read, read. I said, I think Myers came in here. I mean can't write with noise and brain at all. I mean this, don't read as Iola can't use the mentality unconsciously of this sensitive for this reason, she wants no gods before her writing. That is from Myers. Mrs. Georgia discontinued reading Victor Hugo's play, Q. I hope you will answer a letter at Chicago on Monday next, 11 a.m. A. Yes, do, I will try and come. I want to explain something to you, it is this, we use this sensitive's subconscious mind to draw our earth material from. You impoverish our resources if you occupy her conscious mind, she is a reservoir upon which we draw. Cut off our supply, and we can't give you a very brilliant achievement. Q. Can you give me a test for Sir Dash, Dash? A. I could come, and would exhaust the strength of this perfect condition. That's why she recalled the first commandment. The other gods was a metaphor, the subconscious being our divine principle of working. The conscious is physical and human. Mrs. Georgia said, oh, not all mediums have that. I replied, everyone has it. It not developed by education nor experience. Here came Iola with a private message. Q. Did Mr. Myers sign? A. Here is my signature, F. W. H. Myers. I never used anything but initials. I want another sheet. Iola now came in, and occupied the remainder of the sitting giving some interesting reminiscences of her time on Earth. In a previous sitting I had inquired how it was that Iola, who was in a high sphere and realm, required the assistance of Hudson, who was in the third sphere and realm, to manifest to me. The reply was, she is higher in the spiritual, he in the intellectual. Hudson also said that he had made a study of the methods of communication with the earth plane, and was better able to come to me. I take it to be a fact that, the longer spirits have been progressing away from earth conditions, the more difficult it is for them to adopt material means of making themselves known. I am now going to show how I was nearly misled through a communication signed by Iola, but which really emanated from Hudson. It is a story that does not redound to the credit of Hudson. When the deception was found out, he asked me to keep it to myself. At first I intended doing so, not so much on his account as on that of the Bangs sisters. A superficial critic, on reading the following narrative, may think that it contains evidence against those mediums. I do not, and I feel bound to relate it, as it is a first-rate evidence of spirit action, and shows how people not far advanced in the spirit world have the same human instincts as people here. I had, during the third week in February, written to the Bangs sisters to say I was returning to Chicago for more tests, and adding that I should probably sit for a portrait of Hypatia, at the same time ordering a frame the same size as that already ordered for the picture of Cleopatra. The frames take 4 weeks to complete, I told Iola of my intention. Much to my surprise, she objected strongly to the project, as will be seen below. Pressed for reasons, she, or Hudson, writing for her, declared the picture was already done, and gave some sort of idea what it was like. But it became clear, as the writing went on, that Hudson was apprehensive that the effect of his script would be weakened in England if it were put side by side with accounts of the Bangs' pictures. He therefore used every endeavor to prevent me getting more, and unscrupulously attempted to discredit the Bangs sisters by challenging them to answer a letter that he would himself dictate to Mrs. Georgia. February 26, 1909. With Mrs. Georgia. I said to Mrs. Georgia, I wonder if Iola was with us last night in Plymouth Church? A. I was at the first part of a lecture. I could not stay. I felt the depressive influence of a crowd. Q. Do you understand in future that your name Iola will be substituted for X in future narratives? A. Yes, I like it much better. X is like an algebra sign standing for some unknown quality or quantity. What time does your train leave? I said, 5:30 p.m. for Chicago. I want to tell you we're not able to get the book by Arnold. This is correct. In the previous sitting, Iola had recommended me to go to the store in town and buy a certain book. It turned out that it was not in stock. Dot. I wish you were not going further than Detroit. Q. Why? A. Because I want him to go home to M. G. Initials correct. If you go, that is, to Chicago, don't get another woman, referring to the picture of Hypatia. That's it, you have enough, I think, if you make the experiment. Let it go. Don't get that picture, you have Cleopatra. Q. I want the picture for the purpose of educating the public, not for my own gratification. 56. A. You can't hope to educate the British fools that are pig-headed. Such experiences to be of value as an education must be personal. Save your dollars. Give Cleopatra to the society if you will, not to the museum. This is a curious remark, as it never entered my head to give the picture to either the S.P.R. or the British Museum, though I had asked the latter to take charge of it for a time, write the bangs, and wire them your plan for picture is altered, and you will find they will insist upon your taking it. It is already done. This is Thompson J. Hudson. You wait, try my plan, and see if I am not right. The wire will cost you 40 cents. Try it. I tell you at Iola's request. The woman is painted as a blonde with hanging hair, the robe white Grecian, fairly correct. It is her request that I investigated it. Upon a separate sheet I will write a letter and have Mrs. Georgia read it. Yes, she is. You must see that they are lazy. It shifts on the paper, it saves them strength, what they have. Iola is here while I write you. T. J. H. I will write a letter for you to have them read, which will be duplicated by a carbon. You are to seal it without reading. Mrs. G. will keep the copy here, you will see it shifted, that's all. I will write a scientific note for a test that they can never answer, a test Iola wants to warn you, she warned G. about the picture, she don't like Hypatia's picture. Iola now came in, I want your test to end with Great Britain. I mean don't get that picture, test the letters of the bangs, but no more pictures. You will see I am right when I know they will force you to take the picture. I don't think I will tell you all just yet until you see Mrs. Georgia again. But you must not take it. I made some remark to the effect that, having ordered a picture, I must take one. Then get one of me. They must give you the copy of the full-faced one. Wire them to see how they try to force the long-haired woman upon you. I want you to seal the picture with your signet. Q. Is not the picture I have of you a genuine precipitation? A. It is genuine in some respects, but you must see if I could give you one. Why not the other? Do you think me limited? The test must be made so that you can dignify your belief. Yes, it is Iola. I tell you that I have come to you through the picture, but I want you to have no more. If you wire them, they can't hold you to your half order. I said that because they can't give it. If a spirit can paint one, an artist's spirit, why not a full face? Is the artist limited? I am there, your picture is there, but you will know I am right. Save the money, £6. If you are made to take any, insist that is the picture you want. Tell Maybangs you can't have any. Nor will you accept any unless they can give you that one in a perfect likeness, that will save the £6. You are going to prove, not to be imposed upon. I shall keep you from it if I can. Wire them, and have the letter test. I want you to watch out so your test of the letters will be single and alone. Are you test the letter alone, Crooks will know you made a real business of his request. You will destroy this effect of your test if you mix up the picture test. It will hurt your book's influence, for people will believe the letter test when they won't the picture. I will rest 10 minutes. After an interval of about 10 minutes, I will tell you that I want you to prove to the English-speaking people that your test of these letters is thoroughly mental, not chicanery. I know the picture, Iola's picture, is all right. He don't, that's why you must have no more. You will and have done enough for the Bangs sisters. Wire them by all means. Hudson spoke for me, that's why you did not recognize my style, literary style. You must have the N. Why? Man, Dr. James Hislop, to find out about Mrs. Georgia, as his excerpts from your book will create a great sale in this country. I am Iola, I want your book to reach the world. Hudson then dictated to Mrs. Georgia a letter for me to carry to the Bangs sisters. I did not read the contents until after the reply had been given at Chicago on March 4th. In the course of conversation I had told Mrs. Georgia that the principal reason for my return to Chicago was to obtain an additional test of the Bangs sisters' letters for Sir William Crookes, see Chapter 7. We had talked over my previous visits to Chicago, and she had seen my picture of Iola to which allusions are made above. We both believed in the genuineness of the Bangs sisters' manifestations. The foregoing script was written very clearly and with great rapidity, in her usual mirror writing. To me the warning was incomprehensible. The vehement denunciation of the proposed picture of Hypatia was unlike the usual gentle tone of Iola's communications. I knew that Hudson wished his message to be given prominence in the account of my investigations, and I had a strong feeling that it was not contrary to the wishes of Iola for me to obtain the picture of Hypatia, who, I felt sure, had assisted her in the higher life. I did not send the telegram, but left matters to settle themselves when I arrived the next day at Chicago. On Saturday, February 27, I went to the Bangs sisters. I told them I intended to have a picture, but it would probably not be that of Hypatia. The elder woman said, "Do as you like, but how about the gold frame you ordered to be made?" I replied, "That is of no consequence, you can make use of it for some other picture. You are constantly in need of frames for pictures of this size precipitated through your mediumship." To this there was no demur, no attempt was made to insist upon the execution of that particular picture. In the evening I put a closed letter to my guide between the slates, after May Bangs had seen the exterior of the envelope, and received a reply. For the methods I must refer the reader to Chapter 7, the principal question I had asked was, would she, Iola, give me a full-length portrait of herself on the following Monday, March 1st? I give extracts from her reply, "I know just what you want. I can come in likeness on the smaller canvas, but I think you had better select a larger and more panel shape, considerably longer one way than the other. It will be more artistic and shapely." It may seem strange to you that I should make such a request of you, but I do so because I can see that opportunities will not be favorable again, but I want you to sit for Hypatia's portrait while here. Hypatia has been such a help to me in making all the different grades of progress in spirit life, and is deeply interested in your medial progress. You may think it strange that I have changed the program, but there is a reason for this that I will explain to you fully. Of the two, I would prefer to give Hypatia's picture, but I know you will let us both come, and you will have no regrets. Ask the mediums about the panel canvas for my picture. I will impress them with what I mean. Signed, Iola. On the outside of the envelope was the instruction, "Read your message before leaving, so as to arrange with the medium." It was settled that we should sit for Iola's portrait on Monday morning. On Monday, March 2, 1909, I told the Bangs I would have a precipitated picture of Hypatia, as well as that of Iola. They proposed, as a test of their mediumship, that we should try for both on that day. While we were waiting for the panel canvases to come up from the town, May Bangs brought me the two large canvases that were to be used for the picture of Hypatia, to inspect. They were warped, and I objected to using them. But, as May Bangs said they had used up all the others, I agreed to try and get these straight, so we nailed them up to a wall and left them there for 4 hours. At 11:20 the two panel canvases arrived from William Horsley & Co., 1719 Clinton Street, wet. We put them in the window, under full light of the sun, and sat over them till they became dry. This occupied 25 to 30 minutes. They were then put up in the window, and at 11:50 we sat for the picture. It was precipitated in 10 minutes. And about 12:20 I left the house to get my lunch at the Annex Hotel, 2 miles distant. For a full description of the execution of this picture and of that of Hypatia, I must refer the reader to chapter 7. It is sufficient to say here that Hypatia was successfully precipitated at 4 p.m. About 3.30 May Bangs came to me with two straight canvases saying, "I have found two canvases not warped. Would you sooner use these than the ones we nailed up?"